Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. I seek the protection of God from shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And I greet you in the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real and true peace comes only from the one creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that wonderful greeting and prayer is simply, assalamu alaikum. Again, we welcome you to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I am your host, Quran Shakir. And tonight's program will be co-hosted by Mark Shaheed, alhamdulillah. And as your host this evening, I am also your engineer and your co-producer, along with Mark Shaheed. We invite you to grab a pen and pad and journey with us to explore, examine, and dialogue about the beauty, value, and practical approaches to making marriage a blessed joy. We also invite you, while we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we ask you to go ahead and share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are tuned in and listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Blog Talk Radio. We invite you to send a text, make a post, invite your family and friends to join you at 714-816. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it is my distinct honor and pleasure to present my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. And as always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent citation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, the facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And for those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, this learning lab goes all the way back to the middle of October 2015 on our sister station AM 360 radio. So we have come to 6 years and we're still growing strong now here on IWDM radio. Want to say to all of you that this is your learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, where we try to teach the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage here. And regardless of whatever your situation is, there is something here on the Learning Lab that I believe that you will benefit from. We do ask that you treat this just like a regular classroom, as there will be some noteworthy things that will be said. And so you should be prepared. And what is the preparation? That is to have an open mind, an open heart, and bring your pen and pad for any noteworthy things that you may jot down. We do invite that you, invite you to ask questions or to make comments on some of the things that Quran or myself will say tonight that you would think noteworthy. And those of you who come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio, and you really absorbing and what the information is resonating with you, we would love to hear from you sometime. by just calling us up and letting us know. Give us the greetings and let us know that what you're hearing is resonating with you. Those of you who may be listening in by way of the Internet, yes, and you want to be involved in the communication, you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. So we do invite you to call in and be a part of this production. We want to say also that some staples that we use as a foundation for this learning lab, in addition to the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and the staples are the same as we use Al-Quran and the life example of the Prophet Muhammad in demonstrating the Quran, and the Tafsir, which is the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad, as the foundation for this learning lab, Courtship and Marriage. We are using an outstanding publication by one of our beloved sisters in association here, Akila Nafisa Rashid, and that publication is titled Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet in Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. This is a very unique publication in that she's chosen to use the word ripple, which comprised of six letters, and each one of those letters being principles and helping to make that Muslim marriage makeover. And we are on the last one, which is E. We started with R, which stood for respect. And the I stood for intimacy. The first P, partnership. Second P, peace. The fifth letter, which is L, love, we just completed. And now we're on E, which is equality. There's a lot of great information that will be being disseminated in regards to this last letter in terms of equality. Because if we're really going to have a Muslim marriage makeover, we need to know, you understand, what equality really means in Al-Islam when it comes to the relationship of the male and the female. So very, very important. And we ask that you take good notes and that you be a participant. And you can do that by pressing 1, and Quran will alert me that you have your hand up, just like in the classroom here. So don't be shy. Ask questions, make comments, and if it's resonating with you, we'd love to hear from you. And you can do that by pressing 1. So with that being said, always here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we always like to have an overview of our previous production here. As we missed last week, we do apologize for that. But I know Karan is feeling better. I can already hear it in her voice. And I'm feeling a lot better. I pray a lot that I won't cough on anybody tonight here. But no COVID. No COVID, just a pretty bad cold. You know, we still have colds today, you all out there. We still have colds. We get colds, and I usually get one almost every year along about this time. So praise be to Allah. I'm feeling a lot better. Matter of fact, I'm feeling pretty good. I feel almost like teaching tonight. How about that? Back to you, Karen. As-salamu alaykum.
It is good to hear your voice. And I offer my prayers to you and your family. I know this is a special time for you, and may Allah make things continuously easy for you. So 2 weeks ago, we had the distinct honor and wonderful pleasure to have on our program Imam Fahim Shuaib, whom we adore because of the great work he is doing along the lines of what we are doing now. You know, Imam Fahim does a lot in our community, but one of his passions is helping us as individuals and as a community to build healthy and strong marriage relationships. So, alhamdulillah, he was on with us, and we were looking at peace and love, although the majority of the program was on peace itself. We didn't really get to love as much as we wanted to. But mashallah, Allah knows best. And so the things that we did talk about, I think, was very important. And the reviews that we got on our social media, the responses that we got were really good in reference to this. And while I'm talking about social media, I want to invite those of you who are listening to go ahead and like us on Facebook. We are Bring It to the Lab. And go ahead and follow us on Instagram, Bring It to the Lab. And you, too, can keep up with what we're doing as we make posts and make comments about our subjects in our program. So when we looked at peace and love, one of the things that we looked at is the fact that everything in creation has a counterpart. In man, we mentioned that is a comment, a statement from Imam W.D. Muhammad. Everything in creation has a counterpart in man. And we looked at the fact that we are created from water, and Allah says when he did creation, then he established the relationship of lineage. And in establishing that, then we have this way of looking at ourselves through our lineage. And he created mates that you may find in them sakinah, tranquility. You may find in them peace. You may find in them satisfaction. And so these are the two ayats we were looking at. So the first one that talks about the lineage was 25:54. And then 30:21 is what we use to talk about this idea of finding sakinah in them. So now let's get to this these concepts that we looked at. One of the things that the Imam Fahim, talked about was that with water, water has waves. And as you know, the book that we're using, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect by Akila Nafisa Rashid, this idea of waves is discussed. So one of the things we talked about was that waves, when you make that ripple in the waves get they go out and far, and they spread far and make a big impact. So when we make this effect in our own marriages, we can go far and wide in the effect that we can have in our marriages and our relationships. But also with the waves. Waves get bigger, and they get bigger and bigger, so you have some waves that are bigger than others. And so with also with a wave, if you love going to the beach like I do, you know that the waves have a healing effect. And so we looked at those kinds of things as the man was talking about water in the relationship, and this is an opportunity for us to heal in that relationship. And we can look at how things can get bigger, how some are smaller, and all of this is an opportunity for us to heal and grow. So we, in looking at this healing and growing in our relationship, one of the things that is needed to establish peace, since we're on that letter, is listening. And listening is an art critical in creating peace and tranquility. And so we have to discern when we're looking, when we're listening, oh, I love this that he gave us. But number one, we have to listen intentionally and listen with a heart to want to know, not listen with the ear to want to speak and rebut whatever is being said. So you have to discern what's really going on when you're listening. When you're listening with a heart, you are watching your mate. Watch their body movement. Watch their facial expression. Listen to the tone, not just the words that are being said, but listen with the love of that person, number one, being connected to them so that you can grasp every element of what is being communicated. And you can be in touch with the sensitivities that are being communicated because you love them. And you can hear them in a different way. And with that, then we're not so quick to respond. And I love what he said in our response and in our listening. He gave us these acronyms, IAPE, which I have been using over and over again in these 2 weeks since that time when I'm talking to people, number one, doing it myself, but also sharing this with others. So the IAPE, as we're listening to people, the I is, don't interrupt. The A is don't advise. So when someone's talking to you, you don't interrupt them. And then A, don't advise them. What I think you should do is no, just listen. And then the P, let me get back to it. Here it is. The P is don't probe. So
yeah.
Don't probe. You trying to tell me this? What you mean? You know, don't probe. Don't, just listen. Listen. That's a loving listen. I love it. And then the E is don't evaluate. And I think this is really good. So when we do this, and once that person is finished with their message that they're sharing with us before we even get to our part, if there is an our part, reflect back what they said. Okay, I hear you. And what I hear is, and you share what you hear, give them an opportunity to say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. That's what I said. That's what I meant with that. Or no, that's not what I meant. I want to clarify, and they can clarify and add to it if they need to. This is a wonderful, patient, loving way to communicate, and I thought that was great information that he shared with us. And in doing that, one of the things, this kind of listening, he said, is like sacrificing your ego to get out of the way and get into the other person's emotions. And that's a beautiful thing as we're growing in our relationships, to be able to not focus on us. Think outside of us and see how we can grow. And to just, I often tell my students, you know, take the cotton out of your ears and put it in your mouth and really listen. And so one of the questions that was asked, we had several callers who did ask questions, but one question was, how do you restore peace when it is gone? And so there's a reality that we must face, and this is what he was talking about, is that if peace is lost in that relationship, one, there has to be someone who's willing to be the fight for the relationship when one person has lost it, and to know whether or not it is worth fighting for, and to get in there in that battle to fight for that relationship, and to care enough to make a difference in that relationship. But in that, I also remember what we have said before, the car, or care, if you want to pronounce it that way, but it's C-A-A-R. And that is, you look at, in this relationship, the commitment that you have in that relationship. And there will be a time when you've made the commitment, and you're going to have to make an adjustment in that relationship. And if you've made that adjustment, there will be a time you have to make an assessment in that relationship. And then once that assessment is made, then you have a decision to make. And that decision will be whether or not you're going to redirect, you know, do something differently with that relationship, or recommit to that relationship. So that was a part of that conversation also in answering that question. For those of us who are looking at, how do I become a better listener? How do I move myself from just hearing words that are being said to me and being able to listen with my heart and listen by looking at actions, by looking at facial expressions, by listening to the tone? He recommended a book, and so we are sharing that book with you this evening, and that is, Daniel Goldman is the author, and the book is called Emotional Intelligence. And that's a great book to look at the very real sense of how we have two minds, and one that thinks and one that feels, and that's what that book will share with you, to be able to help you to move to be in that position, to be a good listener. Most importantly, for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran to speak a word straight to the mark. And so one of the things that we did talk about in that last program is, be careful of sweeping things under the rug. Let's address things that need to be addressed. So if someone says, I don't want to discuss this right now, we can be respectful of that, but do not discuss it. It has to be a way that you honor yourself and the need for that conversation, and also being mindful of how we address it. I always want to remind us of, you know, we don't ever want to be aggressive or one who push something in a way that makes it distasteful. So there's a way to communicate that we need to talk about something, and then how to talk about that. I think that's a lot to have covered with you. Alhamdulillah, we're grateful to have had Imam Fahim with us, and I'm going to turn it over back to you, Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. Once again, a very substantive, very informational overview that you gave 2 weeks ago, I should say 2 weeks ago, from Imam Fahim Shoaib. Just want to make underscore a couple of things here. In that acronym, the word CAR, you know, in every committed relationship, that adjustments have to be made, and they have to be made because oftentimes we're coming from a different social status, if you will, in terms of how we actually will socialize. So there can be a difference there. And so adjustments have to be made. And obviously, if you were single and now you married, and you having to get to know that person and they get to know you even better now that you actually are married and you're living together. And then it's a possibility that in terms of adjustments, it may be that this person really needs you to adjust. Your partner may need you really to adjust to something, or vice versa. And if, in fact, that this becomes difficult and you get too many where adjustments seem to be difficult or not being made in the relationship, this is where the second A comes in terms of assessment of the relationship. Now, remember that all relationships actually in one of those stages, as we speak, you know, it's always is being a commitment, or there's adjustments that may still be being made even after years of actually being married, or you may be in the stage of assessing the relationship because maybe not enough adjustments have been made, and so there's still something left to be desired in the relationship by one or both. I just want to give clarification to this, what Fahim was actually given. And then, as Quran said, then it is the R. And the R could be one of two things. If, in fact, that in the assessment period, when you assess it, the assessment will lead you to either redirection, which meaning separation and ultimately divorce, redirecting, going in a different direction, and you may go into a different direction, or it will, in the assessment period, when you're assessing your relationship, it could lead you back to recommitment, That's where you start. You start in terms of commitment. But in an assessment, it could lead you back to recommitment. And so then there's a recommitment that's there. Also, we spoke about that. A question was asked in terms of actually when you have issues or what, and what should be done if a relationship can be salvaged. It was a question pertaining to that. I don't know exactly the verbiage, but it was something I'm paraphrasing. And one of the things I cited in the Quran, and also Imam Fahim Shu'aib, he agreed wholeheartedly, where Allah says in the Quran that if both desire to restore peace to the relationship. Now, remember, Imam Fahim was commenting on two principles, one peace and the other one love. So whereas that the peace, the relationship have lost the peace of it, then it's incumbent upon both desiring to restore the peace, and then Allah said he will bring about reconciliation. And this is very, very important. But the prerequisites for the reconciliation, with Allah intervening and bringing about reconciliation, means that both have to have the desire to restore peace to their relationship. This is very important. It can't be just one or neither. Then that can't happen, or it won't happen. So this is by way of the Quran. So that if peace has been lost in the relationship, it takes two. It's like my grandmother used to always say, it takes two to tangle, but it takes two to actually desire to have that in the relationship, and Allah would bring it about. And then this has something to do in terms of looking at the state of the heart of the two people. You know, what is the intention? What is the intention when the relationship gets in that stage, whereas that you're not sure, whereas that, you know, there's a disturbance in the relationship, there is not peace and harmony in the relationship. Well, the intention has to be the same intention on both parts. The motivation has to be the motivation on both parts. The desire has to be the desire. This is symbolic of the abstract heart, which is very, very important. They have to be in tune with that. And if, in fact, that this is the intention, this is the motivation, this is the desire of both in the relationship to restore the peace that has been lost in the relationship, Allah says that He will intervene and bring about reconciliation. But there is a prerequisite, and that prerequisite is between those two, intending and the motivation and desire is to have or restore peace back in the relationship. One last thing I want to give is a wordologist. I like to give it this, and I always say it's the gold nugget. If you think you can use it, sisters, put it in your purse. Brothers, put it in your back pocket. And if you don't think it's good, then just throw it in the trash can. But the word love, and we kind of touched on that 2 weeks ago. Fahim gave some excellent information when he's talking about love, and Quran mentioned in terms of the importance of listening in communication. So the L in love represents listening to each other, okay? And the O stands for observing each other. Very, very important. And then the V in love stands for valuing. We don't see, you know, love like if you buy a new car and you drive it off the lot. They say that once you drive the car off the lot, it has depreciated. It has depreciated. No, we want to appreciate each other. We want to always value each other, so value. And so the E represents expressing. So love is not only just a state of being or just expressing verbally, but also we know that love is an action word. As we've talked about the five universal love languages, so we want to be expressing. So when we really have true love, we're going to be listening to each other. We're going to be observing, which is meaning that we are going to be paying attention and we're going to be observing each other. This is one of the things that even in courtship, you know, that can and should be practiced, listening to each other, observing each other, valuing each other, which means valuing and appreciating each other, and then expressing, you understand, love to each other, and not only that we say it to each other, but we also are actually practitioners of love in terms of the actions that we show toward each other. I just wanted to say those things just to add a little something to the overview from 2 weeks ago, and I'm excited about getting into tonight in terms of equality, because there's a lot of great information that I think our radio listeners will greatly benefit from. Quran, back to you.
Wonderful contributions to the notes. So thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I'm putting that in my toolkit also. I love it. So now we're going to move to chapter 19, and we're moving to the E in ripple, which is equality. And so those of you who have been with us and listening over these last few months as we review all of these the words of the acronym, you know that the R in ripple is for respect. So we've covered respect on many levels, and the I is for intimacy. The P is for partnership. The P is for peace. The L is for love. And now we look at equality. In looking at equality, I would like to begin with just looking at the idea of equality, just looking at just that the word itself and that concept of equality. As we begin to look at equality in our marriages and equality in choosing a mate who is balanced in giving equality, and that would be for the male and the female, looking at that idea of equality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that the male and the female are not alike. And, you know, just looking, we know that. But Allah, the designer of us, the architect of the of creation, as including humanity, he said, and that lets us know that he is intentional in that design, that he did not make the male and the female alike. And, you know, sometimes we say, well, we want to be equal partners in the relationship. We want to be equal in what we do. Well, we don't have to necessarily be equal when it's doing everything the exact same. The equality can come in a different way where it is balanced, where it presents itself such that it's fair. That's the equality we're talking about, where there's a fairness in there. And so well, the first thing I want to say to us, just from reading the sister's chapter and knowing what I know about Allah, knowing what I know about relationships, is that we all need to learn how to appreciate and celebrate us as we are. I think that's a major accomplishment that needs to happen for us as a people, where we learn to appreciate and celebrate us as we are. I think that too often we want to be different than who we are. And one of the things that the conversation that I like to have is to say that you want to be different means you don't appreciate what Allah has done with you. You don't appreciate how he has made you. Whatever it is, the experiences that he has allowed in your life, the way he has constructed your look, whether it is your hair, your eyes, your build, your physical structure, that, and even your thinking, all of that is from Allah. And sometimes we want to just change it. You know, we want to go in and have facelifts, and we want to go in and have surgery and things like that to change the look, instead of appreciating what we have. So as males and females, we have to appreciate ourselves as we are, because Allah made us as we are. And so that appreciation means that we can't think that one is superior to another or one is inferior to another because they are different, because they are not like us or not like something we think it should be. It's okay to be different the way that Allah has made you. And that is not what Allah says, that he has made one superior and one inferior. He said that they just are not alike. And so too often we get caught up in thinking that to be good or to be accepted, people, beliefs, and things must be aligned with what we believe, what we see. So my question then to us as a listening audience is, how can we move beyond this kind of thinking where we have to be like, or someone has to be like, or someone is better than because they are? How can we move beyond that? So I just want you to know as a listening audience that this is a live program. If you are in the studio, you can join this conversation by pushing one on your phone, and we will gladly let you into this conversation. If you are listening online, you can join us in the studio and be a part of this conversation by dialing 714-816-4673, and we will gladly welcome you. If you come into the studio and push one, you can be a part of this conversation. We already got people lining up, Mark, after I made that statement.
Okay, well, see, that's what I'm...
up. Yes,
you know how to get them, Karan. You're doing a great job. Let's go to the callers and see what how they want to respond to your question, Karan.
All right, here we go. All right, okay. 706-627. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum, brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia.
Alaykum as-salam, Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. You want to respond, so please, Quran asked, I think, a very valid question there. So I'm anxious to hear your response, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Well, as always, we all try to talk the truth all the time. That's our whole goal. So what we're saying here is that I appreciate what she said. It's a very key word when she said how we change stuff. You know, okay, when we change stuff, we know that it's not in accord with the universal order of things or the way Allah has created. Now, we have that habit. That could be what's wrong with our problem right now today. We have not learned how to realize that we are an artificial creation by Shaitan until we turn back and follow the uswa of the human being Allah SWT has given us, the pattern, our life, our and our thinking, our whole being when it comes down to being what he created us to be. And I pray, Allah, that we will understand that wonderful word you said, that we have a habit of just changing things. And that's not natural. So as we learn some of the things we learned back in the past, like the original man, you know, some of the things we learned during the times of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those were truthful signs of how to get back to the straight way that we was created, to get back to living the word. We have to understand that our physical attachment to the earth and all the other things the creation of Allah has put us and made us educated about, but we still have to get back to the word. We started out with B and whatever Allah had on his create activity, whatever you want to call it, before he made us. He had a reason for making us. He was original. He has an original plan for us. He has original destiny for us. If we don't change our creation, we use the language, if we do not let Satan make us deviate from our mold of prayer that we were created being, and that goes for everything else that we're responsible for. We know we're trying to put nature back into its mold of prayer of everything that Satan has done that makes the human being be rebellious and change everything he or she get her hands on from the original way that the law prescribed it.
Alhamdulillah. Well, thank you so much, Brother Muhammad. I think
all praise is due to Allah.
Yeah, all praise due to Allah. That's a sharp point that you make. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir.
Press 1, Muhammad, as you go, as you're muted right. And going out
yes.
of the queue,
yes,
so we can keep the studio clear. And, Quran, you want to make any comments on what Brother Muhammad stated? In response to your question?
I think what he said was, he said it well, and it was really like a reiteration of what we've said. So thank you so very much. We appreciate your comments.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Do we have some other callers with their hands up?
We do.
Let's go to them. Let's see what they have on their mind.
Welcome. 219-484. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes, this is Dr. Jamal Rashid from Gary, Indiana. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. Dr. Jamal Rashid, welcome. Your response to the question Quran just gave?
Oh, yes. I actually was going to respond to equality in the acronyms that you all have stated, the E. But I can bypass that. What was exactly the question? Because I was hearing it, and I want to make sure I understood it. So if you can restate that question, please.
Yeah, the question was, how do we move beyond this thinking of we have to change or try to get someone to change in order to be like our beliefs or be like us, or the thinking that because someone is different, then they are either inferior or superior to whatever whoever we are and what we think and what we believe.
Okay. Well, going back into the equality, you know, we have to, in my opinion, identify our own human nature, that everybody has different skills and talents. And once we listen in that love, L-O-V-E, and listen as the L, we begin to observe what our mates' strengths and talents are, and that's them. That's their identity in our observation with the old. And then we have to value that just as much as we value ourselves. And once we do that, and then obviously we have to get out of the way. You know, we have to be managerial. I mean, as a manager, we have to allow them to express their strengths and talents as long as it's chakra based. You know, as long as it's right-minded, then we have to be supportive of their particular skills and talents. And so you express in the L-O-V-E, L-O-V-E, in your relationships with your spouse.
That's excellent. You know, that's really excellent. Dr. Jamal, I won't let Karen speak for herself, but I love the way you took that acronym that I just gave a few minutes ago, and actually in the relationship in terms of, listening to each other, which Karen used the word balance. The relationship, whatever it is that Allah establishes, and Allah has established the sacred institution of marriage. So this is His marriage, and Allah doesn't establish anything that is imbalanced. Whatever He establishes and He creates in His creation, there is a balance that's there, you see. And He has made created us with pairs. You know, the creation is pairs, male and female. So in terms of listening, how you put that together is really wonderful, in listening to each other, you understand, and observing each other, and then valuing what you're hearing from your mate and vice versa, what you're observing, from your mate, and valuing those things, and then even expressing to them what it is that you value in them. Oftentimes that's overlooked. You have some relationships where there's never the expression of love to show the appreciation, the value in what it is that you've been listening to for years and what you've been observing for years. You know, it's a good thing when a man can say, thank you, that was a wonderful dinner, and give his wife a hug and a kiss. I'm just using something very simplistic here, it doesn't have to be something where what I do is greater than what it is that you do, in the relationship. And I think the way you expressed that was really marvelous, and I really appreciate it. Karan?
I do, too. And I really think that it's like a paradigm shift is what we would need to have just based on this description. And that's what it made me think of when you were talking. It's like, it's time for a paradigm shift. And in that paradigm shift, then it is acceptance of what Allah has given us. Just accept creation as it is. So I like what you said there. And that's what came to my mind as you were talking.
And may I also say that, simplistically, that sounds real. I mean, very simplistic on paper.
Yes.
But to actually do it,
it's
difficult for a variety of reasons. You know, one is immaturity of knowing what we just expressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, people actually know this. And then secondly, to implement it, it takes a great deal of strong leadership within oneself, meaning you have to manage your emotions all along the way. And our emotions is designed to be our best friend or our worst enemy.
Mm.
And so if the emotions is imbalanced, then all kinds of negative things are in that atmosphere. that can cause it to go astray. And actually expressing as clear and as softly as we're doing on this program. And so it might be a lot of confrontation within that relationship that has to be fixed. That in many times is not that easy to resolve positively.
So what I hear you saying, Dr. Jamal Rashid, in a nutshell, it's more easily said than done, but it becomes, I think, a challenge. But I do think that it can and it has been done. So it's not impossible for us to do it, but it does require the maturation on both parts, both mates, maturation on both mates.
Yes, and it's easy. I mean, it's good to put this out here because even though we may have failed and are falling in our attempts to make it right, at least others can hear our mistakes so that they can learn from our mistakes.
Yes,
sir.
So we
should still venture on and not look at it as impossible to execute it in the right ways.
Yes, sir.
So
yes, I'm
there.
Yes, sir. That's what Karen and I are trying to do here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We got so many shows out there, mainstream media, and all they talk about is the problems that exist in relationships and everything. And so it really becomes an emotional thing because everybody have either experienced a problem, in a problem, or on their way to a problem, as they say. So, you know, it becomes a relief for some people to just engage in shows of what, where they just expressing a problem or have an opportunity to blow off steam, so to speak, in that regard. But then this is a learning lab, and so we take a different approach. In that we really need to know how relationships should actually be, and we believe that from an Islamic perspective, that is the best perspective. Even if you're not a Muslim, you can benefit from coming to this learning lab on courtship and marriage. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal. As always, very insightful and wisdom that you share with us. And if you care to come back, you know you can always press 1. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. Want to say to our radio listeners, this is Dr. Jamal Rashid, one of the very distinguished esteemed hosts on our sister station, AM 360, as he teams with Henry Hasib each and every Thursday morning on AM 360, Solutions for Critical Issues. You can hear it every Thursday morning. Starting at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central. And that call in number 425-292-4253. That's one of the numbers. The other one is 515-605-9891. Solutions for Critical Issues, Dr. Jamal Rashid and Henry Hasib. Thank you, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Press 1 as you go out. Karan, is anybody else with their hands up want to respond to your question?
No, we still have our brother Muhammad with his hand up. If he could just push 1 to come out of the queue, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
But no, we don't have anyone else, and we can continue our conversation about Chapter 19, Equality. And I know you didn't get an opportunity to really respond to the statement.
Well, I think it was some great responses, you know, that our two callers that actually called in. I like the word that you use in terms of balance. And then I also like the fact that you referenced the Quran, where Allah says in the Quran, in no wise is the male like the female. The male like the female. In other words, what is Allah telling us? He's telling us both the male and the female is his creation, that we are his creation. And there is a difference. There's a difference. But he's not making the difference in terms of one superior and one inferior. This is what it is.
Yeah.
is one of the main messages that have to come to us. This has been man, and this has been the influence of the shaitan. I think Brother Muhammad kind of alluded to that. This has been the influence of the shaitan to take gender, and to try to establish the male gender being superior to the female gender. There's nowhere in God's revelation that he ever say that. And the Quran makes it very, very, very clear in Surah Nisa, where Allah says, "Khalaqakum min nafsin wahida." You know that Allah created both the male and the female from one single soul, one single essence. So, which meaning that in the vital components, the abstract components of the human creation, we are one creation. We're one creation. You see, when Allah, and it's not contradictory when Allah says, "In no wise is the male like is like the female," or vice versa, because the functionality is different. And Allah gives us examples of that. We've cited Surah 46:15. You know, in terms of the female, the mother is able to do things that we as men or as fathers are not able to do. And then we also want to use a very sahih hadith, a very sound hadith, when a man came to the Prophet in terms of who should he have the most regard for. And the Prophet said three times, "Your mother, your mother, your mother." Mm-hmm. You know, now this could easily be taken, you know, for women that wants to establish superiority. Well, you heard the Prophet say it three times, "Your mother, your mother, your mother." So we must be greater than you all if he said that. No, it goes right back. It goes right back to Allah telling us in the Quran that he's given every creature its provisions. In other words, he has a role and a responsibility that he has given to all of his creation, but he has given the provisions for that. And Allah says it right there in terms of, you know, if we were looking for justification for those three times the Prophet saying, "Your mother, your mother, your mother," well, men, we cannot bore babies. We cannot carry babies. We don't have the capacity to do that. And we can't deliver life, new life. We don't have the capacity to do that. Allah didn't give that to us. He didn't give that to us. But that doesn't make us inferior now, you see. And we cannot nurse babies. We cannot give them their first food. We don't have the capacity to do that. So if we're not understanding the religion correctly in terms of what Allah has created and having an appreciation, you know, Quran, for what it is that Allah has given to both the male and the female in terms of performing their role and responsibility, then we can easily be very vulnerable for the shaitan to influence our thinking in terms of what it is that Allah may have given some one more than the other. You see that we read it. And so, you know, when we talk about, and I love the word that you use, which is balance. Keep that in mind, dear believers, as you listen. Balance. You know, balance. You know, that really helps in the progression of life, whereas that, no, you don't have to, you know, try to establish isms, elitism, classism, genderism, sexism, and not to mention racism. All of these things are divisive in terms of the human family. And there are still people today here in the 21st century that actually think that men are superior, you know. And it was early on in the 20th century where right here in the continental United States that didn't believe that women had souls. I'm not making this up. You can go and research it for yourself, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Quran comes and it corrects anything, you understand, that would change and to alter the perception. Mm-hmm. And Imam Muhammad said this is the role of the shaitan, is to alter the perception of the communication that God has with his human creation. This is why it's very important that we use the Quran as a foundation, as a source of our information and our thinking, and it should form our disposition and our mental attitude when we look at each other and have an appreciation for each other, not see ourselves as superior, because generally speaking, men will have be more physically stronger than women. But that doesn't mean anything in terms of that. That's nothing to get all excited about. Allah gave you that, gave us that, to be able to perform our role and our responsibility. So, you know, that balance there, and the balance in terms of the way that we see things, the paradigm that you mentioned, that we need to change the paradigm, this will help to promote more harmonious marriages, have more appreciation and value and love for each other in what it is that Allah has created both through, and they're working together in harmony. That keeps the balance and all. So much more could be said about that, but I think I said enough in that
I
regard.
I love that word, harmony. Yes, yes. And we do have two callers with their hands up, so we're going to go ahead and go to the listening audience. Thank you for your patience, dear listening audience. And so we are going to go to 810-610. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yeah.
As-salamu alaykum to you, Quran, and to you, Brother Mark, and to the
Alhamdulillah.
Calling from Flint, Michigan.
Yes, ma'am. Well, it's always good to hear your voice.
Yes,
Alhamdulillah.
It is.
Likewise. Just listening here in and out at the program this evening, and you all are always looking for, you know, great information, and it makes you stop and think, you know, because as that question that you posed, Quran, about how do we move beyond that, think that someone needs to change themselves, basically. You know,
yes, ma'am.
No,
we can't hear you there, DePreezer. Okay, there you are. Yeah, you kind of moved away from your mic a little bit, so please, we couldn't hear you there for a moment.
It kind of sums up everything that everyone has said basically this evening in reference to that, is that, you know, you be respectful to the fact that Allah, highly glorified as He, has put this relationship together. If you believe has put the relationship together, then He'll let you be able to be inside of it and feel that and hear that and, you know, understand that. But if you're not sure, then, yeah, that can cause problems, because, yes, it is expecting the others to kind of give in to what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember that Allah has the power over all things, and if we're looking for Him in our relationship, He is there. So you have to, we're not perfect. None of us is perfect. We know everything. So, and maybe that purpose is in your life, and if you look at it that way, that they have something to offer that you need, and just as well as you got something to offer that they need. So if somebody needs to change, we can always improve, but we don't have to change. I just wanted to thank you so kindly.
Yes, thank you so kindly. As-salamu alaykum, Sister DePreezer. Thank you so much. Very well said. Alhamdulillah. Any response?
We're going to welcome back Brother Muhammad from Columbus, Georgia. Yes. Brother Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. This is right quick. When we look at Allah, his constant guiding us, he says one soul, then you have to be united and realize that you are each other's other half of your.
Then is an old favor that he gave those of the people of the scripture before the Quran. He gave them the fable. He gave them the fable quote of what is good for the goose is good from the gander in your relationship with your creator.
I ain't heard that in a while, Brother Muhammad. What's good for the goose, the gander. I just kind of laugh at this. My mother used to that all the time. That's an old saying, that what's
so
good for the goose is good for the gander.
Very much. That takes cooperation. Yep.
Yeah, cooperation. That's the key. Thank you.
It does.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Press one as you go out, Brother Muhammad. Just keep the studio clear.
Those are some
any response, Quran?
Those are some wonderful comments that we got. And, you know, one of the things that I think when we start talking about this paradigm shift, one of the wonderful ways we talked, because the question was how. So I think a part of what we must do is examine Allah's creation and look at how Allah does have the balance in creation and how he does give us variations. And I love Allah because, you know, when I'm talking to my friends who are not Muslim, that's one of the things I say is we have a creator who loves diversity. And you know that from what he has given us, you know, like you can go in any element in his creation, find diversity. So whether you go into the water, if you go into the air, if you go into the forest or just out into the trees, and you just see diversity everywhere. That says something. But never does he say that this one is better than the other. And even when we look at what he has done where one may eat the other. It's called the cycle of life. It's a cycle. It's like a circle. So it's not that one is better than the other because they eat that one. Or one is better than the other because they have more muscles and they go out and provide. You see what I'm saying? So even when I look at in creation, you know, take a cucumber and a zucchini squash. Both green. Both similar shapes. But when you start to rub them, you can feel the difference.
Oh, yeah.
And when you see them and look open inside of them, you can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to prepare them for food, you can taste the difference. Both of them can have some salad. But one of them you don't want to cook. And so, you know, they can't stand the heat. But it doesn't mean that one is better than the other. You know, just look at the creation. So that's one thing I think we should do. And look at how this creator has given us diversity in his creation. And that would be good for us too. And so we have equal value in his eyes, in that perspective. We have equal value as a part of creation. And with that, when we look at that, I think that will help us. Because we have to move from what the language that we're using is what Shaitan is doing to try to divide us. And in his division, he's trying to make one think they're better. And he did that not only with gender. He did that with race. He did that with color. He does that with language. He does that with where you live on the planet. That's Shaitan doing that. And so when we understand that and we're looking at building these strong relationships, and, you know, I'm big on the children got to get it, so that it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. So let's get it and give to the children now that they are understanding that this equality that God has given us is a gift from the Creator, and it is standard across creation. It is not unique. And just because a young man or a young woman is built or made a certain way doesn't make them better than another. That's an important lesson to teach our children, an important lesson, such that when they get into the position or the age of discernment and able to decide, I'm ready to marry now, that is not something we got to break. That is not something we got to turn around and change. That is, you know, we can move in a different direction. We can grow better relationships when we groom and grow our children to be best mates for one another and help them to know what to look for, to know what to groom in themselves to grow and develop and be what God would want them to be as creatures, creation, ready to perform what Allah would want of us most definitely.
Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. I mean, excellent Quran. You know, Quran, I really love the way you direct our radio listening audience, you know, to the natural creation. You know, Imam Muhammad has said that the two hands, that how Allah shapes and forms us, is natural creation and revelation. And we even find in the Quran what you're saying, Allah is constantly pointing us to his natural creation. And so the diversity that you speak about, it's all throughout creation, you see. And we see the male, excuse me, and the female working together. Allah says he creates, and then he reproduces what it is that he creates. And as we study this natural creation, we don't see where one acts like there's a superior of the other. They work together in a collaborative way, and they're productive. I often look at the bees, and it's fascinating just to see how bees actually work. How you look at something as small as an ant, how they actually they work together. You know, it's not like you see one fighting for superiority or any of that. They actually stay within the nature. But Allah in this diverse creation, it is to teach us a lesson in terms of how we are to have a productive social life, if you will. Mm-hmm. And this is the Imam Muhammad. It's really stressed to us, and the Quran teaches us, you know, that there are other creation that have social communities, and then we can learn much from them. And this actually teaches us in terms of how our life can and should be constructed also, and actually working together. You don't see the bees fighting with each other. You don't see ants. I never seen an ant fight. It seemed like they working together, you know, which seems to be maybe say minute to us. If it's a big old crumb, it's like about two or three of them kind of clustered together, and they carrying that crumb, you know. They're working together. And we find this all throughout the natural creation in terms of actually working together. So this balance that Allah has established, and I think the priestess said in her statement that Allah has power over all things. And actually the ayah that you mentioned earlier on, Quran, Surah Furqan, the 25th surah and the 54th verse, Allah ends that by saying, and that it is He, Allah, who has power or influence over all things, meaning that Allah, whatever it is that He has created and established, and of course, He's saying that He created us from water, and that water, you know, having being significant in terms of a spirituality, morality, emotionality, and sensitivity. Allah has created us with that as human beings. And, mm-hmm. and then, you know, these are the provisions he's given to us. And then he says, then he established the family life, which is lineage, and then marriage, mm-hmm. which the family life is supposed to come back through the sacred institution of marriage. And Allah has power over mm-hmm. all things, meaning mm-hmm. that he has already influenced what he has created, and he's already mm-hmm. influenced is that he has established a way for it to actually be lived. And this is very important. So the shaitan trying to alter the perception of the human being. And we have to be very careful, you know, even in this time. And I, you know about, you know, the COVID-19. But the shaitan can direct your attention one way where you're looking here. Oh, I want to be physically safe and healthy. Alhamdulillah, and we should all want that. While he has your attention focused in one direction, he's coming at us in another direction, where his aim is to divide us, to bring about divisiveness. Allah to bring about the unity. And so we have to be even careful with the language. I'm thankful to Allah that he blessed me early on to be able to see the divisive language. And I asked the question to some of my top imams, and they had to agree with me. They had to agree with me. I said, if Imam Muhammad was physically present amongst us, would Imam Muhammad, I asked this question, would he accept the language of, social distancing? Would he accept that? And those of us who were students, we wouldn't have to give much thought to that. We said, no, Imam Muhammad would not accept the language of social distancing. Right. You know, when we think about, even when we were coming up as, you know, if we were ill or sick or something communicable, illness, then, you know, our parents kept us at home. Didn't send us to school, mm-hmm. kept the other children away from us. That's physical distancing. Physical mm-hmm. and social is two different things. That become a homework yeah. assignment, but those who want to dispute with me, go to your dictionary and you'll see that there's a difference there. These people are social engineers, so they know exactly what they're doing. And when we say words make people, and when yeah. Imam Muhammad said that, these are the people that know that words make people. And sometimes when things are repeated over and over and over again, then it becomes a part of that person saying, well, social distancing, you know, and then pretty soon they would have taken something in terms of abnormality and made it normal, and then they produced what is called the new norm, you know, a new language, new norm. So all of a sudden now they're never – we can never see in the future where sisters will hug and kiss each other, brothers will hug each other. You know, that won't be the same in terms of social affairs or what. No, Allah says in the Quran, for the believer, there would be no fear, nor would they grieve. I have to ask myself the question here. Are we a faith-based community or are we a fear-based community? And so we have to be careful. We have to – yeah, this is a question for all of our community, and I'm asking that question, you know, for us to do a self-assessment of this. Who are we listening more to? Are we listening more to mainstream media, or are we listening to the Quran, in which Allah is the author of the Quran? So, you know, it's a challenge. But I'm challenging all those who are listening and listening to my voice and what it is I'm saying. Allah has guided me to be able to see this. It's very, very clear to me, very clear, very clear to me. And we know how the shaitan will give you the idea that he's really concerned about your health, and it's all about wealth. All you have to do is just follow the money. We have to be very, very careful, because he's sly slick. He's the most subtle one that was in the garden. So you have to watch him, because he'll slip something in on you, and you won't even realize he'll slip it in. So, oh, man, he said social distancing. We fell for the okey-doke. We fell for the okey-doke. He'll keep this going on. This is a big cash cow and everything. So we want to remember the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, the things that our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, has taught us. Put those things together. We have some excellent educators in our community and all. And we want to respect, foremost, we want to respect what the Creator has given to us. He has given us these systems to function. You know, these systems of function. We don't want anybody giving us something that would cause a malfunctioning in the systems that Allah has created and has given to us. So we have to be very, very cautious. And I'm just saying that because Allah put it on my heart to say it. I'll stop there, Duran, and give it back to you. I want to say that this, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shahid here. And tonight's topic, we're on the last of the letters in the word RIPPLE as an acronym, and that is equality. Equality is a lot of substantive information that's written in this book by Akila Nafisa Rashid in Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. And I know that equality is so valuable, it's so essential that we have the right outlook, the right paradigm in terms of how it is that we see each other. We see each other. And believe it or not, the paradigm needs to be changed for many, even in America and across other parts of the world, where one gender sees this stuff superior to the other, or, you know, in terms of class and all these things that separate people. This is the work of the shaitan. We have to be able to identify his work, his schemes. And as Imam Muhammad said, we have to fight the schemes of the shaitan wherever we find them. We have to defeat it. So I'll turn it back over to you, Quran.
Okay. And we do want to continue our conversation, but looks like Brother Muhammad has another statement, so we're going to let him make his statement. Brother Muhammad, you are on the air. Go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Alhamdulillah, you're talking about so many good things. And Imam Muhammad would not go for social distancing because he knows that is another scheme of the shaitan. Plus, he already knows Allah has already given us guidance to anything that we might come into our reality. In these 110, 115 years, a lot of that be in this reality. You know, the virus, it came as a unifier. When those of us who understand the nature of anything that Allah tests us with, you know, and it has a cycle. Now, only right now it's sad on our human level, but when we look at it the way the Quran says, this virus has only unified those who understand how Allah said how to deal with these type of tests that come to us, you know, and because the Prophet Titus Islamic said they dealt with virus. And he made the community be unified. They didn't go anywhere, and they didn't let nothing come in as they identified the nature of the virus or whatever was attacking the community life of the believers. When we put that in effect, we'll see that whatever Allah does, he's trying to unify us. He's not skewing us. Whatever Allah is doing, he is doing to help us unify. He said, my help is always there. He is always helping us to understand that it's our disunity that we know Shaitan is causing, but we have not submitted ourselves enough to Allah with our heart. He says wholeheartedly, you know, submit. And we will see that our unity lies in obeying Allah. When he gave us that Qibla, that was telling us to turn our intellect away from Shaitan. He's talking to you. Quit listening. Quit listening to him and listen to what I'm telling you in the Quran, in the life of example of Prophet Muhammad, that you can identify with. You know, again, he is doing so much to help us
realize this elusive, listen to the language, this elusive thing they call unity, something he gave us when he said you start out with one soul.
Alhamdulillah, Brother Muhammad. Yes, sir.
We appreciate listeners like you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Muhammad. We appreciate it, and we appreciate your contribution and all. So you're right on point again. Thank you so much, and please continue to listen, and press 1 as you are muted and you go out the queue, and we're going to go back to Quran to give us some more out of this,
yeah.
I think, 9th chapter, if we're in terms of equality.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so one of the things that we our sister Akila Nafisa Rashid mentioned, that, well, she didn't say it like this. This is my summary, is that this idea of equality is a word of action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about work. It's about the works that we do. And so one example is in Surah 33:35 that she gives, and that's why I came up with this idea that it is about work. And so when we look at Surah 33, Ayat 35, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, indeed, the Muslim men and the Muslim women, the believing men and the believing women, the obedient men and the obedient women, the truthful men and the truthful women, the patient and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the fasting men and the fasting women, the men who guard their private parts, and the women who do so, and the men who remember Allah often, and the women who do so, for them Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward. These actions that are used as adjectives to describe the men and the women. First of all, we want to say, when this ayat was revealed, it was revealed after the women went to the prophet and was like, you never really addressed us in the Quran. Knowing that, in my mind, from understanding what Allah has taught us about his revelation, about his prophet, is that he didn't necessarily have to say it by name like he did here. It was appealing to the soul of every believer. So, okay, he said, okay, let me then appeal to this request of my servant. And Allah revealed it like this, such that now he gives these adjectives and he describes us. So this idea of equality, in my mind, is about works. So it is about being a Muslim, one who submits your soul, yourself, to the will of God. That's a Muslim. So that's one work that has to be done. Then to be a believer, the believing men, that's a work. So it's like 10 things that Allah names here. So the Muslim, the believer, the obedient, the truthful, the patient, the humble, the charitable, the fasting, those who guard their private parts, those who remember Allah often, and they reflect on Allah. So Allah gives us those 10 things, and then he says, what will happen if you do these things? Then he gives it to them. He says, he has prepared forgiveness and a great reward for them. So absolutely. He has prepared work for us. So the actions of being a believer, then, of being these male and females aligned with Allah, ready to receive his forgiveness and his reward, those things that he gives us then are actions that must be taken. And so we understand then that Allah is addressing us on equal terms. Because, you know, the physically we may be different, but as servants of the one God, I think what he's saying here to us is there is no difference. And if we understand that, we appreciate that, we can get to the work that needs to be done. And I think it's more important to be doing those adjectives that he's using here than to be spending a lot of time on those other minor things that we have created as the way. And so I think that's very important for us also. And then I have one other point, unless you want to comment on that.
No. I love the ayat that you just read, because Allah is being very clear here. And, you know, in terms of these things that Allah is stating, but specifically using men and women. He didn't say that one will get a bigger reward than the other, or one will be forgiven more than the other, or any of those things. So he's looking at it, once again, equity, as I see it here, is being showed by Allah, you know, and those, and by doing it that way, it is saying that both have the ability, if you actually are, you have submitted yourself and you are a mu'min, you are a believer, that the same reward would come to you, whether you are believing man or a believing woman. No difference. No difference there. No difference if you do those things and those 10 things that you actually named. And I love, you know, I love that, you know, because it makes it, it makes a clear distinction with those who want to try to establish superiority. You know, the Quran is so beautiful. All we have to do, even when we are, you know, even in conversation with our Christian brothers and sisters, even family members, you know, if we just read that part and all, this would send a great message, because I think amongst many misconceptions that our Christian brothers and sisters have, in seeing one over the other, one created before the other, and one superior and all of that, we don't have that problem in Al-Islam proper, having the correct understanding. And that speaks volumes. That speaks volumes. And I think that particularly women need to know and understand that in Christianity, because of the misnomers, the misconcepts, and the misprecepts that have for many, many, many centuries have seen women as inferior, or somebody that's forgotten or secondary and all. But, boy, when you read the Quran, I tell you, it just opens your eyes to the reality, al-haq, the reality, the truth, and all. Yeah, see, so I just love it. I just wanted to say that, so you can continue on, Quran.
I love it, indeed, yes. And I want to say also, you know, since this is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, I want to say that for our brothers and our sisters in courtship mode looking for a mate, and you say, oh, my goodness, what am I looking for? I say, let's use this 3335 as like your template, your template for designing the perfect mate. And so go out and look for the one who submits their will to the will of God. And I say you have on your, like, create a checklist. And so on your checklist, okay, imagine this. You have two columns, well, three columns. So one column is going to be all these things that Allah has named. Your second column is going to be what you see physically that they do. You observe them, you know, make a list. What do you see physically that they do as a one who submits their will to the will of Creator? And, you know, they put whatever God says above what they say. What do you see physically? And then what do you see with them emotionally and spiritually? Look for it. Because they can talk a good game, but don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Watch them.
Watch
and then take note on it. And then look for them being a believer. What do you see of them that verifies with you, I'm definitely a believer? How do you see that? What's the verification for you that this is a believer? What physical things do they do that shows you they're a believer? What emotional and spiritual things do they do that shows you that they are a believer, that they are devout, that they are true, that they are patient, that they are constant, that they are humble, that they give in charity, that they fast, that they guard their chastity, and that they are one who remember God often. So what do you see You know, that's a great thing to use. Like, hey, I'm about to build my mate here. And then you can even give them a scale of 1 to 10. Where are they on it? Because you might say, oh, I want mine to be at a 10 for this one, but I'm okay with working with them if they're at a 5 for this one. So you can start, you know, looking at how you would, what would you accept of them as you all grow together. And this is a conversation that you have, like, as a believer, I'm on this level. I'm going to be honest with you, and I need help with. This is the kind of honest conversations we have if you really want to grow in our relationship. You want to be good in this courtship. You want to find somebody you can be with and grow with and find this sakina, this tranquility, this place of peace. Then let us use our book and the revelation from our creator, the one who created us, that one created all of our experiences. They know our disposition. They created that in us and for us. Use that to guide us to find ones who are like us. You know what our brother Rumi says is that the one you're looking for is looking for you.
I love it, Karen. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And I think that's an excellent, excellent suggestion that you just made in terms of relating those that's in courtship phase of the relationship. And the only thing that I would add to that is that when you have that list and the assessment, start with number one, you. Start with number one. Start with you. So always start with you. See, because when you're actually looking you're looking for a mate, and, you know, of course, Quran is listing these things, and they're excellent because anything that comes from the Quran is excellent. You're not going to beat what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, is saying in the Quran. So nothing can top that in that regard. But then what you want to always do, and when you are looking for a mate, you're going to be looking for those qualities. As Quran said, you're going to be observing certain actions and all of that. And wow, you can become attracted to maybe say that potential believer when you see that. But now the question becomes, where are you in that? Because there is a law. There is a law called reciprocity. Reciprocity in relationships. So let's say hypothetically here, that the courtship phase evolves to a partnership. Now, you found all of these great qualities and actions and behaviors in that potential mate that you're looking for, and you actually utilize the Quran in terms of helping and assisting you in doing that. Well, just like you're looking for the good qualities, the good actions, the good behavior, and all of these things, as Allah is describing both the men and the women in the Quran, and you're saying, I really like to have that type of person for a mate, then it's very important that you be able to exemplify those qualities, those actions, behaviors in the relationship. Because it's the ebb and flow, it's the back and forthness in the relationship in terms of reciprocity. Remember, I gave an acronym for the word reciprocity. Spell reciprocity in your mind. Realize each conscious initiative performed, return other conscious initiative to you. So what it is that will be given to me were given to me when the realization of that conscious initiative performed just for me in the relationship, I have to return other conscious initiative to you. And this is called the healthy, harmonious relationship in which there is a reception, but there is also a giving. You're receiving and you're giving. You're receiving and you're giving. You're receiving and giving. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And so this helps to sustain a healthy relationship. But if it's just where we Quran mentioned the word balance, you don't want the relationship to be imbalanced. Okay, so we find somebody that have all of those qualities, they do those things. We observing them, boy, ooh, they are community worker. They really involved in the community. That's exactly what I'm looking for. You know, and all of that. But I don't measure up. You see, so how does that work? See, so we're talking about the balance that's there and the harmony, the order that you want to have in the relationship. So always remember, when you make your list, what you want to do, I like to turn things around as a wordologist to say a checklist. You want to list and check the things that you have on the list to say, where am I? How am I assessing myself at this point? And then when you have that conversation, like Quran say, that you should have, and you should have, because in the courtship phase, you should have many conversations, communication, exchange of information, and everything. Then we can be a person of honesty and integrity. These are some things I need to work on. You know? And you have to see. So, and being honest with ourselves, being honest, as I think the priestess said earlier, there is no perfect people with no shortcomings or have made mistakes or errors or have shortcomings. It's coming up short in certain areas of our life. And perhaps, you know, the big thing is the recognition, you know, facing that, you know, facing it. And if you're able to face it, maybe you can trace it. And if you can trace it, the chance that you can erase it and replace it. But then the thing is that in having a good mate, they may have that quality that you're a little short on, and perhaps they can be a helpmate to you or vice versa. This is very important, but you have to be honest with yourself too. So it starts with you and assessing yourself properly. As you want to assess a potential mate properly, you want to do that for yourself first. That's the only thing I want to add. This is my only little 2 cent worth, Quran.
That was a great 2 cent. Valued it much more than that. Since we're on this courtship thing, I would love for us to also look at then the role of the male and the female. So when Allah, you know, tells us that, you know, no wise is the male like the female, there are distinct roles that we have based on the characteristics that Allah has given us. And I think, you know, earlier we talked about how we need to change the paradigm, shift that paradigm from just thinking that one is superior and one is inferior. And I also want to add for us then to also look at the need to shift the paradigm in appreciating our roles based on these differences, you know. So in the book, Sister Akilah talks about the terms that Allah uses to name the male and to name the female. And so with that, I surmise the roles from this and looking at, she also had a quote from Imam Muhammad. So the terms that are used for males is Zakiru, and the term used for females is Unta. And so Allah gives dignity and honor to us by giving us these distinctions here. So I think that a part of what we have to do is be to embrace the original nature that Allah has given us then. Appreciate that. And to know that it is okay to be sensitive and loving and receiving to my sisters. And it is okay to be strong with muscles and use those muscles to protect and open doors and give up seats and provide and be available with your wealth to my brothers. I think that's okay for us. And I even want to read this quote from Imam Muhammad. Let me find it in the book on, it was page 127. Because I think it really applies to what we are talking about. And then just a reminder while I'm getting this to our listening audience, you are listening through IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. And we are in the studio, and we invite you, if you are listening online, to join us in the studio. And if you do want to join us in the studio, just dial 714-816-4673 and push 1, and we'll bring you into the conversation. Those of you who are in the studio, if you want to respond to some of the things we said, we invite you. Go ahead and push 1. We'll bring you into this conversation as well. So I want to go to this quotation of Imam Muhammad that our sister shared in the book, reading the book Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet to Make Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect, and is written by Akilah Nafisa Rashid. And she quotes Imam Muhammad as saying, "Getting back to the sex genders as God addresses them, God says the male is not like the female. But what term does he use? Are these common terms that are used for male and female in common language? No, this is not common language. This is very, very, very spiritual language. The male is not like the female. The term used for the male is thakir, and the term used for the female is untha. So what is this term, thakir, addressing? What is it talking about in the human being? It is talking about the thinking ability, the ability to think and reflect. And what is this untha? It's talking about the ability to sense. So here you have one ability in the female, the ability to sense, and you have another ability in the male, the ability to think about what is sensed. Now, is this restricted only to male or female? No." And so that's a quotation from Imam Muhammad here, and I thought that it was appropriate for us to to mention this. And I have like 3 hands up. Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go to it because, you know, I was going to make some comments on that, but Imam Muhammad said it best and let it know that these are qualities that's in both.
Mm-hmm.
I say that that's in both the male and the female. Yes. Go to the callers and see what they have on their mind. Yes.
All right. Let us welcome 816-813. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
This is Najma Qasada Ali. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Your question,
I have a quick question for both of you as we come near the end of the book. Is there any one particular way that reading the book and going through it has helped you in your marriage relationship?
Oh, good question.
I'm going to hit one.
I started reading the book, and I've left it laying around. My husband has read it as well, you know, looking at it, seeing it around. And so when he reads it, he has these things that I've highlighted in it as well. I think what it has done most importantly for me has been a reminder and a great conversation for me, not only in my marriage relationship, but I think in my relationship with my family as a whole. You know, like, mashallah, with the passing of my mother, I became like the matriarch in the family. And so I have lots of nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters who come to me for support, and so it's helped me to be able to reference certain things from the book.
Okay, Brother Mark.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I have to say that that book was not read by my wife. I would have to say that in that regard. And that's all I'm going to say in regards to that. But I will say that the sister that authored the book, want to say that when I first found out about the book, and all, I actually had her on The sister station AM 360 radio, Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid, and just doing an overall overview of the whole book, I saw that it had a lot of great information in the book that could be shared with the radio listening audience and all. So sometimes, you know, when you, and that's a great question, you know, to ask, but I have to be honest, you know, in that regard. So, you know, sometimes you can help other people more so than maybe you can help somebody that's very close to you in that regard. So I'll just leave it at that. But actually, I think the information that you hear that that Quran and myself are actually sharing, it registers to me first in the soul, of the human being. And then when you actually begin to think about it and say, wow, you know, I should have had this information said long before. But, you know, everything happens on time. And we thank Allah for a person such as Sister Akila Nafisa Rashid in terms of writing such an outstanding publication in all. And I'm quite sure she has actually helped many people, you know, either in their marriages or even, I would say this is an excellent publication, even though it's seemingly written for those who are actually married, Muslim marriages. And we had a question sometime, is it really a Muslim marriage? You know, because, you know, when you're talking about a makeover, you know, you're talking about doing something over that's not really done right the first time and all. And this book really addresses those things from my perspective. And I think it can be beneficial to even those persons that are actually seeking to have a mate. They're not married, or maybe they've been married before and divorced and now seeking a mate again. I think the information is invaluable.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Excuse me, what was your name again, and where are you from? What part of the country are you from?
Hold on, let me get it back in.
I'm sorry.
This is Sister Najma. I'm visiting my family in New York.
Oh, okay, Sister Najma. Where are you from?
I met you when you used to come to Kansas City to some of our programs with Imam Bilal. That's where I met you, Brother Mark.
Okay. I know the name sounds familiar, Sister Naja. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
All right. And so we have Brother Muhammad and Dr. Jamal on. And let me see. I think Dr. Jamal.
I'm going to ask both to be as succinct as they possibly can, and in question or comment, if you would, please.
All righty.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. All right, Brother Muhammad, go ahead. You were first.
Yes. Right. Just want to say right quick that I pray a lot that the work that he has you doing, that you take it back where our leadership left us at. The library, the school, the college students, because they need to see the marriage, Quran and marriage, you know,
I mean,
by people like yourself, you know, and this benefit in us doing the turning this into the dawah outside as well as the inside, inshallah.
I mean, you know, absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Muhammad. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah,
all
thank
right.
you so much.
And, yes, Dr. Jamal.
Yes. Quickly, I would like to be as succinct as possible. You know, I always say that education is more and goes far beyond academics. And so what you all are sharing is social intelligence. The area component of one of our intelligence is social, how to get along in relationships. And so we are growing in a society where we were at a distinct disadvantage and not getting the kind of information that we have gathered as we have growing older. And so I just like to focus on the values. You know, society has corrupted our minds that we think materialism and emotionalism, dysfunctional emotion, is a strong value as what is most important. So many look towards the wrong things from the start as far as what they desire, the appetites that the society has fed us. You know, in particular, males look, and not, this is not stereotyping, but we know many males look at the physical, the mind, the bad mama jamma mentality. And then you have sisters, on the other hand, looking at the six-pack and the smile, you know, muscles and a smile. And so those values are instilled through the cultural influences of the society, which is going to terminate in a negative outcome because of the dysfunctional values that we start looking at from the onset.
Inshallah. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're quite welcome.
I agree.
All right. So, Mark, you said you had comments.
Yeah, I forgot what my... I forgot what I was going to say. You know, I want to always appreciate the, you know, the callers calling in and making the comments and everything. And what was it that I was going to say? You know, how you have brain freeze here. There was something I was going to say, and I forgot it.
The man was talking about the male and the female Thakir and Unta, and the spiritual language that Allah is using as the
Thakir and Unta. You know, this is what Imam Muhammad is saying in terms of Thakir and Unta. You know, and this should not be misconstrued for males to say, well, we're the thinkers, and Unta in terms of the females just being just those who feel and not be able to be thinkers. No. You know, Allah gives due proportion to his human creation in terms of the role and responsibilities that they have. But very, very important, which these two together is very, very important to be able to think, but also to be able to have a sensitivity, if you will, in having the balanced human being. You know, just be a thinker, but to be insensitive or cold or callous would say that you're not human. You're not human without having that as a Unta in terms of being able to sense and to feel and to be sensitive. This also says that there's a consciousness in terms of having that quality, but also the human being, they have a name, I think it's Homo sapien, which says a thinking being. A Homo sapien is a thinking being. This is one of the things that identify us and distinguishes us from the rest of creation. But this is not just in terms of male gender only. This is applicable to women too in terms of having an ability. But just think, you could be a very sensitive person and not cold or callous, but not be a thinker. So you wouldn't be balanced just having one of those qualities without actually having the other quality. And so this is important in terms of actually realizing what it is that Allah wants both the male and the female to have, and to be able to come together. They actually become a catalyst, if you will, for each other, helping to stimulate the thinking, helping to stimulate the sensitivity in each other in that regard, which is very, very important. And this is actually very important in terms of nurturing the relationship and the relationship between the husband and the wife, in realizing this and actually valuing in this, and not, once again, not being influenced by the shaitan to say, well, you know, I'm the thinker. I'm the thinker here. And you're just a sense person. You know, you just have the sensitivity. You just feeling that my thinking is above how you feel or whatever in that regard. No, these are components, you know, that Allah has given to us in the Quranic Arabia. Very, very important to bring about a consciousness in both the male and the female, that both are actually needed and both can be a part of each. And then when you have the type of working relationship in the natural functioning, not the dysfunctioning of the relationship, then it helps, you understand, to become a catalyst for your mate and then vice versa. Whereas that it's even more pronounced, the thinking, the more the sensitivity and all in the interaction. And this is one of the reasons, whereas we talk about love and that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb of love, where the gestation actually happens and takes place in the marriage itself. And we've talked about intellectual intercourse, you know. And of course, the intellectual intercourse, it helps to produce even greater intellectual abilities for both the male and the female in terms of having that engagement. And also the emotional connection or bond. You know, just last night, you know, we on the Sister Learning Lab, with Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we were on the 11th of the Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader in the accelerated version, which was listening, you know, and all. So actually in that engagement, it actually helps us to become more of a thinker. And one of the things that I said when we're talking about listening, and it was my intention to mention it earlier, and it kind of eluded my memory, is that we first and foremost should always be listening to our Lord and Creator. When we read the Quran, we are listening to the words of revelation from our Lord and Creator. This is best because Allah says in the Quran, Dhikr Allahu Akbar, Dhikr. You know, Allahu Akbar. Thinking and reflecting and remembering Allah is the best. And Imam Muhammad put the punctuation on that. He says the best for what? He says it is the greatest. Excuse me, is the greatest. And he said the greatest for getting the best results in our life. So when we listen to Allah, it is the greatest thing for helping to get the best results in our life. I'll stop there.
Okay, and I just want to add to what you're saying, because I know it is time for us to close out, is that when we talk about that thinking being, in that same ayat, Allah does refer to the man and the woman as Thakarina and Thakurati, which is using that same root word, meaning both of
yes.
them are those who remember, think, reflect, and glorify. So that goes with what you're saying. So I'm going to go ahead and do my closing remarks so that you can close out as well. And I just want to reiterate what Imam Fahim said last time we met, and that is that the mission of building strong marriages will not be over today. We have a lot of work to do. So we ask you to keep pushing, keep striving. Yes. And then also, I just want to remind our listening audience that these are special times in which we live. So we ask you to be safe, and we ask you to wear your mask even if you are vaccinated, wash your hands, avoid crowds as much as possible. And we thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We pray that you have benefited from our learning lab. And if you did, tell a friend to join you next Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We ask you to stay connected with us by liking us on Facebook and following us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. We ask you to go ahead. If you have questions or comments, you want to email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Again, we thank you, Mark. It's always a pleasure to share this platform with you. And I turn it back over to you for your closing remarks.
Alhamdulillah. So, and I say ditto to all of this that you said, and want to thank you, Karan Shakir, as always, for you each and every Thursday, gracing the IWDM radio listening audience with the insight and the wisdom that Allah has blessed you with for many, many years now, sharing it now here on this platform of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in and being with us for this session. We pray, Allah, that you have benefited greatly from the information that we disseminated tonight and past episodes here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to also remind you that tomorrow, Friday, is Salatu Juma Day, and for those of you who may be immobilized or can't get out and about to your local massages and Islamic centers, you can come back here at IWDM Radio for Salatu Juma with our beloved brother, Imam Michael Mikhail Sayer, a longtime resident imam there, Al-Nur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. And it begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio with Imam Michael Mikhail Sahir. Also, the longest running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People, once again with the very distinguished esteemed host, along with his co-host, Imam Ayman, there in California. Words Make People, as he always have very intriguing guests that join him, and they always take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is high noon Central Standard Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, here on IWDM Radio. Words Make People with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And our newest production, but I tell you, it is a very loved production. It's hosted by Rashid Salam and also instructor Abdul Shaheed. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. And you want to bring your pen and pad. A whole lot of interesting things will be said. You want to take notes. You want to bring family. You want to bring friends, associates, neighbors, community members to this learning lab. We want to know about the science of our health and you. And these brothers do an excellent job. That happens each and every Tuesday night here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. And each and every Wednesday, it is time for the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And this coming Wednesday is going to be a special learning lab because it will be extended, a two-hour version, as we will be celebrating our fifth anniversary. Yes, it will be the fifth anniversary of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And that began all the way back in the latter part of January in the year 2017. And along the way, I've had different co-hosts and facilitators, special co-hosts and facilitators, such as Karan Shakir. I've extended the invitation to her. She has accepted and confirmed. Naima Latif, who started out with me, has confirmed. Manira Habil just confirmed today. We also will be looking at having attorney Angela Habibullah join us in awe and reach out to Hanifa Shuaib Peters. She may not be able to make it, but perhaps maybe a cameo appearance from her. And so they will formulate a panel, and we will have an in-depth discussion in terms of parenting and also how to reconstruct the destructive family life. So you don't want to miss that. Some outstanding intellects that I work with over the past 5 years. And They will be answering questions, and of course I will have questions as the facilitator, but also this will be an excellent time for you to bring questions in regards to parenting, how we can become better parents, what is it that we need to begin to start doing in the 21st century to make a difference, and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. This is a big, big, big topic, and we'll have questions pertaining to that for our panelists and whatever questions that you bring. And that will start at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time for the special of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, the 5th anniversary of that here on IWDM Radio. Get the word out to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, associates, community members. Everybody that you know belongs to a family, if no more than the human family. So please ask them to tune in. And then following that would be the MGM Roundtable. We will look to have a very special guest. Yesterday we had a special on the legendary boxing champion, Muhammad Ali, the 80th anniversary of his birth date. And we had, two very outstanding persons that knew him personally. And if you missed that, you can retrieve it back in the archives. So each and every Wednesday, here on IWDM Radio, it's the MGM Roundtable. So we do ask that you tune in for that. And it generally starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. It will only air for 1 hour come next week, as we will have a special 5th anniversary for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We also ask that you actually tune in to Study Out Islam with our beloved sister Fitra Muhammad, and a special shout out to Fitra Muhammad. It's always a valuable resource. I can always call upon Fitra. She likes to stay behind the scenes, but inshallah, we're going to be hearing something from Fitra. I don't have to pull her as much as I used to. And she's more obliging now, and also hopefully word gets back to her. But she has a daughter that's making great strides in the music world. So, inshallah, you may have her at the MGM Roundtable next week. But Study Out Islam is each and every Sunday morning. For those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it begins at 10 a.m., and the Central is 9 a.m., and out on the West Coast at 7 a.m., Study Out Islam. Some of the most outstanding intellects. Just heard one of them tonight with me, Karan Shakir. I've been on this several times and all. And so life topics and all, so you don't want to miss that. It's a new number that they have now, and that number is 717-908-1837. Once again, the new number for Study Out Islam is 717-908-1837. The passcode is still the same. It is 684-012-pound. So please tune in each and every Sunday morning for that. And also, we do support the Muslim Journal here on IWDM Radio, as just last month, the major fundraiser that was hosted by the Atlanta Masjid there in Atlanta, Georgia. A time to be grateful. Quran, I'm thinking that they still can accept donations, right? It's never too late to donate, is it, Quran?
Never accepting donations. Always available for donations.
I just want to get a confirmation from Quran. Yes. She's there in Atlanta. And also, you can still send in your donations, as this is a major fundraiser for the Muslim Journal. They make a tremendous sacrifice, as Professor Aisha Mustafa and her staff. And so, better late than never. So go ahead and dust off those $50 bills and $100 bills and all, and go ahead and send them there to the Atlanta Masjid, or Time to Be Grateful there, or the Muslim Journal. They help to support the lifeblood of our community, which is the Muslim Journal. If you're a Muslim, then you have a Muslim Journal, and it's incumbent upon all of us to support the lifeblood of our community. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you for listening in, tuning in, and especially those of you who actually pressed 1 and made yourself present and contribution that you made here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank Karan Shakir, as always, for the insight and wisdom that she shared with us. And without you, there would not be a Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab nor an IWDM radio. So I want to say to all of you, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.